Okay, an abbreviated shiur tonight. Again, tonight's shiur and every shiur throughout the rest of the summer is sponsored by Ben Yael Engler, L'Zchus Refuah Shleima for Zachariah Kamlin Ben Yael Margalit. Just to map out the rest of the summer for us a little bit, this is our, Bez Hashem, our sixth week out of the 10 weeks of the program already. So, God willing, we are going to be finishing up Bishul HaAklum this week. After tonight's shiur, all we really have left in Bishul HaAklum is, I can make it sound very short by just saying, is to define what types of things constitute bishul in terms of smoking, steaming, kavush, mu'usha, right? Mu'ushan is, but maliach, right? All those things, just what constitutes bishul. And the other issue of how much Jewish involvement is necessary or is enough to take away the Yisur Bishul HaAklum. Those are the two topics we have left, as far as I can think of, in Bishul HaAklum. So then I think what we're going to do after that is we're just going to skip to the end of the Masechta, where the last two blot, you have Tevilas Kelim and Hagalas Kelim. So we're going to go through Tevilas Kelim for a week or two, and Hagalas Kelim for a week or two. If we still have a week or two left, then we'll go back to some other Gishmak HaSugyas. There's a lot of other good stuff to do in Avodah Zarah. So that's just to map it out for us, where we're going for the rest of the summer. So we started to discuss last time the halachos of mixtures. What do we have? We discussed all these heterim, davar, nechal, kamoshu, chai, and then all shulch malachim, and so it's not nishtan al yedei or, and all these heterim that are out there. What if the food is not just a simple food? It's not just one item. It's a mixture of two different items. So the Gemara discussed this directly. Right, and the Gemara says, without saying it so many, it depends what the ikar is. Right, whatever the ikar is, if the ikar is something that is subject to Bishul HaAklum, then the whole food becomes asur, mishum Bishul HaAklum. If the ikar is something that's not subject to Bishul HaAklum, so then it's going to be motir. Problem is, how do you define ikar? What does ikar mean? How do you define what's the ikar part of the food, and what's a tafel part of the food? So Tosus Maseches Chulin Daf Samach Dalar Min Aleph. And really, Tosos here in Lamed Aleph and Beis, a few daps ago, Tosos we looked at a few times already, both seem to directly relate to the halachos of brachos. Right? If you look at Tosos in Lamed Aleph and Beis, because that's the closer one, I guess, that Tosos that we discussed about Sheikhar, about beer, why beer is not a problem. So he writes, Ein lesser shel tvua mishum bishul akum. We don't aser beer that's made with grains because of bishul akum. Kama salka v'daisa. Da'av agav d'lachazi lachos k'shu chai d'sviri lei ki'idach lishan d'rav d'amar kol shein al shulchum lachim yem mishum bishul akum, etc. Here we are, last line. Ve'od yesh tam acher lahat tira sheikhar. Dein bo mishum bishul akum. Diki hechi da tvua b'teila l'gav e'amayim linyin bircha shakol niya b'dvaro. Just like the grain doesn't play a role in the bracha you make on beer, and you would make a bracha of shahakal, not a bracha of mizonos or hadama on the beer, hachnami he betela linyan iser bishul. So when it comes to the hilchos brachos, it's batel. So when it comes to hilchos bishul akum, it's batel as well. So essentially, if you're drinking beer, you're really just drinking water. It's a mixture of water and grain. Water is a primary ingredient. Water is not subject to bishul akum because water is nechal kamoshu chai, right? And therefore, it's going to be mutter to drink beer. So Tosus clearly relates it to hilchos brachos. So there's a whole, it's all sugya in brachos to determine what's the ikar and what's the tafel of any given food. Tosus and Chulin makes that same connection also with Hilchos Brachos. You'll trust me. It's source number four. We don't have to read inside right now, right? We'll just try to get moving here. But he says, again, the same idea that it would be related to the Halachos and Hilchos Brachos. Now, the Ramah in Simen Kuf Yud Bei Sivvav seems to assume, let's take a look. Let's not say what he seems to assume. Let's read it. Source number five. In Kuf Yud Beis, which is not Alachs of Bishul HaAklum, that was Alachs of Pas HaAklum, right? That was last sugya. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "B'makom shenogu heter b'pashal palter," where they're knowing the heter of Pas HaAklum, "Afilu hu nilush bebeitzim," even if it's an egg chala, it's not a water chala, "O shebeitzim tochem al panav," or they paint eggs on the top of the challah. You ever wonder how challah gets a little bit of a shine? It's because they take egg and they paint the top of the challah with some egg. Mutter, that's going to be mutter. Meaning, what's the chiddush? Is if you're knowing a heter of paspalter, you might say, yeah, paspalter I'm knowing a heter with, but not bishul akum. And if they use egg and they painted the top of the challah, that's bishul. That's really cooking it. So that's going to be bishul akum. Says, nah, it's mutter. That's going to be mutter. And the Ramah says, v'yesh omrim b'pas shebeitzim tochem al panav. Some say that it's aser when there are beitzim on top of the challah, mishum shehin be'en ve'inum betelim legabe pas, because it's still be'en and it's not batel to the bread. Now, is it tafel to the bread? It would seem to be that it's definitely tafel to the bread. It's just there to give the bread a little shine, probably not even there for taste. And yet, the Ramah seems to say, yesh osrim, and yesh ben mishum bishulayakum, v'chei noagin, the Ramah says. And the minig is to be machmir on this. So he seems to assume that if you can see it there, even if it's not really distinct from the bread, but you can just, you know that it's there because it's still visible, the shine, the glean is still visible, it's not relegated to the status of tafel. That is definitely not the rule in Hilchos Brachos. In Hilchos Brachos, we would definitely not say that. So as much as Tosfos seems to make the equation between Hilchos Brachos and Hilchos Bishulakum in terms of determining what's the Iker and what's the Tafel, that equation doesn't seem to really hold true, because the Ramah, at least in terms of determining Pasak, when you have bread that has some eggs in terms of Bishul, whether it would be called Bishulakum or Pasakum, thinks itaka is a problem of Bishul Akum. Now, when the dough is kneaded with eggs, so it's totally mixed in and you can't even see it there, so then it's going to, even the Ramah would say it's mutter. But when you paint the top of the I call it paint because they do it with a brush, like a paintbrush, the top of the challah with egg, the Ramah seems to think that that's a problem. What is the halacha in Hilchos Brachos? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the Or Chaim, in Siman Reish Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch writes, source number 6, Kol shu ikar v'imot tefela, anytime you have something that's an ikar, and together with that ikar is something that's tafel, mevarich ala ikar upoter asa tefela. You make a bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tafel, bein mi bracha shalafana, bein mi bracha shalachra, both in terms of the bracha rishona and bracha achrona, lo mi baya ima ikar mu'ura v'ima tafel. Now here's Shulchan Aruch, says, not only if the ikar is actually mixed in together with the tafel, el afilu kol echel devado, even if each one is distinct, va'afilu pas shu chashuv mikol, imu tafel, even pas, which is very chashuv, if it happens to be serving as a tafel, such as you're eating a dag maliach and you eat bread with it just so that to help the fish go down, so the bread will have a din of a tafel, Shulchan Aruch says. Bread could have a din of a tafel, and you would only make a bracha on the fish, and it would pater the bread. Now, I have the bread in one hand, the fish in the other hand. And still, it's called an ikar and a tafel. And the Ramah's telling me that in Hilchos Bishalakum, I have a challah with some egg smeared on the top, and that's not considered an ikar and tafel. That I have to worry about them as two distinct entities, and I have to cheshbon out the halachas of Bishalakum on the egg, and pasakum on the challah. So it doesn't seem to match at all to the halachas of Hilchos Brachos. So the question is, why not? Right? What's the chilek? Why should there be a chilek between the halachas of Bishalakum in terms of defining ikar and tafel, and the halachas of brachos in terms of defining ikar and tafel? So the Chalkas Binyamin addresses this issue of Binyamin Kohn in the Biurim section of Chalkas Binyamin on page Samaches, and he explains a very fundamental chiluk, that when it comes to a bracha, the bracha is focused on your hana'ah, how much hana'ah you're getting, or the specific hana'ah you're getting from the item. The hana'ah comes at one moment when you're eating the two items together, right? When it comes to Bishul Akum, it's not so much focused on the hana'ah as much as it is on the cheftza of a food that was prepared by a non-Jew. So as long as the foods are distinguishable, you can look at them separately. You're not being neneh from looking at them, you're being neneh from eating them. So in a halacha that's focused on the hana'ah, like Hilchos Brachos, where we're focused on the hana'ah, so then the ikar hana'ah and the tafel hana'ah, that's how we're measuring it, not on the cheftza itself. The cheftza itself, bread is more chashuv than fish. Right? Why is it that fish could be the ikar and bread could be the tafel? Because your hana for right now is from the dag maluach, is from the fish, and you're just using the bread to aid in the eating of the fish, but it's totally in your achila, your hana. So since your hana is coming at one time, so therefore it's going to still have a din of an ikar and tafel, even if they're two distinct entities. But when it comes to Bishlakum, we're not focused on your Hana'ah. We're focused on, did the guy create a Cheftz of Macholos Asuros, or did he not create a Cheftz of Macholos Asuros? So you have to, as long as the items are distinguishable from each other, you have to look at each of them differently and each of them independently to determine whether the guy, in fact, created this Cheftz of Macholos Asuros for you or not. I'm using those terms loosely when I say Cheftz of Macholos Asuros, because we're going to have to... There's one other part of Bishlakim that we're also going to have to discuss, besides the two I mentioned before, is the Kalim Bishlakim. And that, how we phrase what the Gzeir of Bishlakim is, may have a tremendous impact on how we treat Kalim where Bishlakim happened. If you really say, if we use that terminology, Cheftz of Ma'achalos Asuros, it's going to change a lot in terms of how we view all the other halachas. So I'm using it a little bit imprecisely right now, just to contrast it with Hilchos Brachos. We'll get into that terminology and what the proper terminology and the best terminology to use a little bit later on. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so the Ramah is coming from the fact that you can see it, but if you want to be able to see it, then...
Right.
Since you can see it, then...
If it's totally balua in the item, then yeah, then for sure they would have a din of ikra. There is such a thing as a din of ikra and tafel,
right?
So if it's totally mixed in...
It's
not just that you can see it, but it's that you can see it and that it's on top of it, it's not mixed in. I mean, you can see the yellow, in an egg challah different than the white of a water challah. They look different. So you can see that there are eggs in there, but it's completely mixed in together. Whatever the Gemara was talking about over here on Lamed Ches, also probably you could see that there's flour in it, and you could see that there's other stuff in it. You could see that there's fish brine or whatever it is that's in it. You could see it, but it's all mixed in. Once it's all mu'urav together, so then mistama, you would follow laws of Ikar and Tafel. But we don't follow laws of Ikar and Tafel when they're distinct from each other. So it would have to be that you can see it and that it's actually separate. Okay, now, so you have an item that's a combination of two ingredients. It's a combination of one ingredient that is subject to Bishlakum, another ingredient that's not subject to Bishlakum. So let's say the Iker is something that is subject to Bishlakum, right? Let's say, for instance, in our Gemara's case, what was it? If the Kemach is the Iker, then it's subject to Bishlakum. If the Harsina is the Iker, it's not subject to Bishlakum. So let's say you have 60% Kemach, 40% Harsina. So let's give numbers to it. Let's say you have 6 ounces of kemach, 4 ounces of harsana in your, what is it? What are you making? Kasa da harsana. Right, so in your kasa da harsana, you have six ounces of kemach, 4 ounces of harsana. You now cook it. What do you have? You have a problem with bishlakum, right? It's cooked by a guy, and now it's aser. You can't eat this kasa da harsana. Now, if you have food that had bishlakum, that was cooked by a non-Jew, that gets mixed in with other food, Bitaroves, so it can become batel, just like any macholos asuros can become batel, but even better than other macholos asuros. Other macholos asuros we learned in our Sunday shiurim, you need shishim, right? By bishlakum, it's machlokas whether you need shishim. You might only need rov. Rov might be enough to be mevatelit. How much do you need to be mevatel this food that is 6 ounces kemach, 4 ounces harsana? How much do you need to be mevatelit? Do you need more than 10 ounces of Bishul Yisrael to be mevatelit, because now it's one entity that's 10 ounces? Or do you only need to be mevatel the Bishul Akum Shabbat? What does this sound like? This sounds like what I promised you we're not going to talk about ever again, which is Chaticha Nasas Nevela. Right? We had a long shiur last Sunday on Chaticha Nasas Nevela, that when something becomes Macholos Asuros because it's mixed together with Macholos Asuros, do you look at the whole item now and say, okay, this whole item becomes a Cheftza of Macholos Asuros? So the Chalkas Binyamin, and the truth is, Pischei Tshuva really deals with this. If you look in Pischei Tshuva, in source number 12, it says, Pasol v'chav v'bishlakam v'chem v'shalom sh'nisariv l'pachos me'rov. Let's say you have bishlakam gets mixed in with something else, pachos me'rov, and therefore it asers the whole taroves. V'achar kach nafil l'taf sh'l'acher, ein omrim bo chanan. Then it falls into another tafshil. We're not going to say chaticha nasas nevela. We're not going to say that you view it as 10 ounces of macholos asuros, and now if you need rov, you're going to need 11 ounces of kasher or bishul yisrael to be mevatel the 10 ounces of macholos asuros. We're not going to say that. We're not going to say chaticha nasas nevela. Now, if you look in the Chalkas Binyamin, though, he does distinguish a little bit. He thinks that there's an important distinction to be made over here. He says that L'chora, Pashas Divrei HaShulchan Aruch, I'm in source number 10, says, is Chalkas Binyamin Bi'urim Divrei Maslelim Eikr, says, Pashas Divrei HaShulchan Aruch Mashma, the Kola Tavshil Yeshbo Mishum Isr Bishul, that the Piskei Tshuva wasn't talking about where you cooked one item together, and it just had 6 ounces of something that was subject to Bishlakim and 4 ounces of something that was not subject to Bishlakim. The Piskei Tshuva was talking about a guy cooked a piece of meat. You then mix that meat with a very little amount, a very small amount of regular kosher meat that was cooked by a Jew. Now I want to know, since that tarovis was not enough to make it mutter, do you say chatichan asavel on that tarovis? That's not the same as what we're asking. We're asking, in the initial cooking, the food that was subject to bishlakim wasn't the only ingredient. There were ingredients in there that are not subject to bishlakim. There's water in there. It's not subject to bishlakim. But the water's not the ikker. So when I cheshbin out, had to be mevatel, this cheftz of macholos asuros, let's say, this food that was cooked by a non-Jew, do I have to look at the volume of the entire food, or do I go back to the ingredients and start cheshbinning how much of this food was actually subject to bishlakim? So the Chalkas Binyamin thinks that you for sure look at the entire food. He says, when it comes to chaticha nasas nevela, to be mevata, he says, when it comes to chaticha nasas nevela, you're not going to, he'll agree with the Piskei Tshuva, right? That if you then mix it in another tarovis, but in the initial item that you cooked it with, it's yeshbo mishum isur bishul dum yadecha de ikru midav shem bo mishum bishulakum. He actually even distinguishes further. Let me try to be clear over here. Let's say you have it in such a way where I know there are, I made a chalent. And the beans are olal shulchan malachim, they're not nechal kamo shulchai. The meat is olal shulchan malachim, not nechal kamo shulchai. The water is nechal kamo shulchai. So can I take that chalent that the guy made for me and take a spoon and just take some of the liquid? It's a liquidy chalent. Take some of the liquid out. Let's assume there's no oil, it's just water that's now been flavored by the other stuff. Can I take some of that water? The water is the ikar, it should be just like beer, right? So can I take some of that water and drink that? Because that's the part that wasn't subject to bishlakim. That part was okay. Or let's assume like those poskim that assumed once upon a time that potatoes are something that's not olal shulchan malachim. So can I take a potato from the chalent and eat the potato? Or do I assume, no, once this tafshil was made as a tafshil, and as a tafshil it has the din of bishlakim, the whole thing becomes asir. So the Chalkas Binyamin wants to tie now that to take a potato and eat it is definitely aser. But if you want to be mevatel this chalent, you only need rov keneged the meat and the beans. You don't need rov keneged the potato. You're not going to say chatichan nas nevela on the chalent. But if you want to eat the potato, no, absolutely not. It becomes machalos asuros in that regard. Am I high? How can you make such a chiluk? So he doesn't really explain how he can make such a chiluk. I mean, what do you hold? Do you hold? Now, you don't want to be down too much and someone, you know, I mean, he's a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, but, you know, he's alive today, you know, like a 50-year-old guy in Brooklyn. It's not like, you know, you don't want to read him like a Rishon, but just to understand, like, where such a svara could come from, right? That when it comes to the potato, you're going to say that don't eat that because that's part of the bishlakim, but when it comes to being mevatelit, it's not going to be part of the bishlakim. It's a little bit of a difficult thing to understand why you would say such a thing. I think it might fit better, and I didn't think it through 100% clearly, but I think it might fit better if you say the idea of Chatich Nas Nevela that Rav Soloveitchik has in Shiurei Arav, in his understanding of Chatich Nas Nevela, that he understands that Tam Ki Iker is not, Chatich Nas Nevela is not necessarily a direct outgrowth of Tam Ki Iker. Again, I don't want to go through the whole Shiur again, but basically what he says is as follows. Chatich Nas Nevela is very different when it comes to Basar B'Chalav and when it comes to Shari Surim. When it comes to Basar B'Chalav, neither the Basar nor the Chalav had any problem until they met each other. And it was just a bad Shidduch, and as soon as they met each other, that created the Isser, right? It was created the Chefs of Isser. So yeah, then you're going to say, Chaticha Nas Nevela, that the whole item together becomes a Chefs of Macholos Asuros. That the Basar becomes a Macholos Asuros, and the Chalav becomes a... It's all one big Macholos Asuros. But when it comes to Shari Surin, so what's Chatichan Nas Nevela? A piece of Chazer falls into a perfectly kosher chalent. So we know where the problem was. The problem was the Chazer. So you're going to say that the entire chalit becomes a cheftz of machalos asuros? Soloveitchik didn't think that was pshat. He thought chaticha nasas nevela was a din mesuyim in hilchos bittel. That in order to be mevatlit, chaticha nasas nevela just tells us that instead of shishim keneged the ikari iser, you need shishim keneged the taroves. It's a din bittel, special din bittel. So if you're going to say that it's a din bittel, it's like a din drabanan in bittel, in how we do bittel, right? So you could argue that when the Rabbanan were formulating the Yisra of Bishalakum, they'll say yes, that this entire Chefta is subject to Bishalakum. But that Chumrah of Chatich Nas Nevela requiring Shishim Keneged Ahol Taroves in terms of Bittul has nothing to do with whether it's a Chefta of Machol Sasuros. Right? That's totally irrelevant. That's just a Din Muslim in Bittul. It never really becomes a Chefta of Machol Sasuros. It was Mutter to begin with. Right, it's just a special din and bittul. It could be that takana's bittul they didn't make in regards to this food. Okay, I just wanted to. Okay, we'll leave chatir and asav aside. Now, in defining whether what constitutes a mixture in terms of did the mixing come first or did the cooking come first? Meaning, if the cooking came first, let's say you cook something and then you mixed it in with something else. Is that any different than mixing it and then cooking it? So we just discussed this a little bit a second ago. The Chalkas Binyamin writes that im lo nisarvu aminim adi achar abishul. If you cook them first and then you mix them together, so then you're going to have to play with the laws of bittul. Then we're no longer looking at ikar and tafel. It plays by different rules. Now you're looking at bittul. Very different halachos. Bittul you might require shishim, but Ikar and Tafel might not even depend totally on the majority. Right? You might eat more bread than the Dag and Meluchim in the case of the Shulchan Aruch. So Ikar and Tafel might have a totally different... So whether you're going to look at Ikar and Tafel or whether you're going to look at Bittul would depend on when you cooked it as opposed to when you made the mixture. If you made the mixture and then cooked it together as a mixture, now you're looking at Ikar and Tafel. If you cook them separately and then mix them together, now you're looking at Halachas of Bittul. Right, I think that's Pasha Pshat. That's just a straightforward halacha. What about Bittul Isulu Chachila? Is it a problem to ask a guy to cook something for you that you know he's going to have ingredients that would be subject to Bishalakum, but they're not the Iker? The Iker is the ingredients that don't have a problem with Bishalakum. So I'm going to ask the guy to make me beer. So the beer that he's going to make is going to have grain. The grain is subject to Bishalakum. The water is not subject to Bishalakum. I'll be able to drink the beer, but isn't that a problem with Bittul Isul Chachila? So one of the reasons it's not a problem with Bittul Isul Chachila is, as we just said, this isn't about Bittul. Bittul is only if it was created as Bishalakum, it was already made into Bishalakum, and then there was a Tyroves. Then it mixed with something else. That's where you have to answer to the laws of Bittul. Over here, you don't have to answer to the laws of Bittul. This is just the definition of Bishalakum. That what did he cook for me? Did he cook for me a Davar Chashav? Not a Davar Chashav. Did he cook for me something that's going to lead to Chasos? Not going to lead to Chasos. You look at the entire entity. It's not about Bittul. So l'chora, go back to yesterday's shir about Bittul Isul Chachila, it would seem that this does not relate to the issue of Bittul Isul Chachila. Does not seem... Now, that I was very clear on. I think that makes a lot of sense. I did not understand the Chalkas Binyamin in the Tziyunim brings a raya to this idea from coffee. I didn't really understand the raya. Maybe you could help me out with this. He writes in, where is it? In source number 14. Yeah, I changed the font for the Tziyunim. The last two lines are Tziyunim, are from the Tziyunim from the bottom of the page. He says, V'chein nira lilmo, this idea that it's not a problem of Bittul Isul Chachila, he says, we can learn, Mimashe etira poskim kafe, mishum demayim ikr. That which the poskim allow coffee made by a non-Jew, because the water is the ikr. Umashma behedya degam mutul et savos hanachri lasos lo coffee. And it sounds like you're allowed to even ask the guy to make coffee for you. V'afal gav dechiyai gavna hu bechlal Bittul Isul Chachila. Even though that's creating a problem of Bittul Isul Chachila, because he's cooking the coffee for you. So obviously you see, the fact that you're allowed to ask him for it tells you that it's not a problem of Bittul Isul Chachila. Now, he's assuming that the reason that it's mutter to drink coffee is the same reason it's mutter to drink beer, right? That beer and coffee are really the same, that it's the ikar is the mayim, and everything else is whatever coloring it has, that's only a tafel. But the truth is, there's another fundamental difference. I'm not that familiar with the beer making process, but it seems, at least from the way the poskim described it, that coffee is fundamentally different than beer. I'm not talking about instant coffee. I'm talking about real coffee. How do you make coffee? You have coffee beans, ground up coffee beans, and hot water goes over those coffee beans. The coffee beans stay behind the filter. You don't want the coffee beans in your coffee. That would be disgusting, right? And the liquid that is now colored and flavored from the coffee that it passed through is coffee, right? It percolates, right? So that's how. But the beans themselves are not in your coffee. When it comes to the beer making process, I think it is in there. No, am I wrong about this? Anyone know about this? I think whatever they make the beer with, the way the poskim describe it is that it's in there. So then it's shaykh talking about, okay, what's the ikker, what's the tafel, right? Oh, the mayim is the ikker, and that's why it's mutter. Coffee might have a more fundamental heter, that you don't have anything else in there. All you really have is water. You have tam of something else in there. Okay, so you're going to say tam kikker. Why we don't say tam kikker in bishlagam? Okay, so then you can have a nice discussion about tam kikker. But you don't have any mamashus of anything else in there besides for water. The only mamashus you have there is water. That might be the kula for coffee. If that's the kula for coffee, and the kula for coffee is not, as he suggests, the same exact thing as it is for beer, so maybe this isn't such a great raya about bitul iser lechatchila. We'll get back to coffee in a moment. Just one more thing before we get back to coffee. And that is, if you take a look at the difference in lashon between, in describing ikra and tafel, between the way the Torah describes it and the way the Shulchan Aruch describes it, it's very fascinating. The Torah writes, in source number one, back to the beginning of the packet, he writes, Irei davar nechal kmo shulchai, and davar sheinu nechal kmo shulchai, ubishlam of the glilim, roen es ha'ikr, midvarim sheyesh ben mishum bishulei akum, aser. So he describes both sides of the equation. If the ikar is something that is subject to bishul akum, then the whole thing's aser. If the ikar is something that's not subject to bishul akum, the whole thing's mutter. Now look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 3. Irev davar nechal kmo shulchayim, davar sheinu nechal kmo shulchayim, bishlem olvin chavim, ima ikar mi davar sheyesh bo mishum bishulev nechavim, aser. If the ikar is subject to bishul akum, it's aser. V'im lav mutter. If the ikar is not something that's subject to bishul akum, or something subject to bishul akum is not the ikar, then it's mutter. So what's the difference between the way they describe it? I think I might have mentioned this last week. If I were to ask you, what if you have both are ikar, that you can't determine one as an ikar and one as a tafel? Then what would the halacha be? You have two ingredients, one subject to bishul akum, one not. One olal shulchan malachim, one eino olal shulchan malachim. One nechal kmo shulchai, one eino nechal kmo shulchai. And they're both an ikar, or they're both a tafel, whatever. They're both equal. So is it bishul akum or is it not? So what would you say? If you read the Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch says, look, if the ikar is davar sheyesh bo mishum bishul akum, it's aser. Anything short of that, it's mutter. Which makes it sound like chetzi chetzi is mutter, right? But the Shulchan Aruch got it from the Torah, and the way the Torah phrased it, right, this isn't a Gemara, he got it from the Torah. The closest the Gemara comes talking about is our Gemara, Alam Chesem and Alf. He got the Lashon from the Torah, but the Torah expressed both sides of the equation, leaving the Chatzi Chatzi case unanswered. So was the Shulchan Aruch just speaking in shorthand? Or was that, but he really meant to say exactly what the Torah said? Or was he trying to paskin over here? Was he trying to say something different? So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 15, Aruch HaShulchan writes, Kotz Shulchan Aruch, Bimlav Mutter, Umiloshon Zeh, the two lines before the end of it, Umiloshon Zeh Mashma, Di Im Shneim Shavim Be'ikr, Mutter, Di Kimin Deser Kalum, Mutter Gam Be'mechzal Mechza. From the Lush of the Shulchan Aruch, it's Mashma, they're both equal, it's Mutter. So some of the Achronim ask on the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, the Shulchan Aruch didn't, you have to look back at the sources the Shulchan Aruch got things from. If he quoted that Lashon, it doesn't necessarily mean that he meant it that way. He might have just been speaking shorthand from the Torah and having no intention to argue on the Torah. So a lot of people are not so convinced by the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan then adds in another Svara. He says, after all, we're dealing with an Isser Kal, so we might as well be making with Mechzal Mechza because it's an Isser Kal to begin with. We're not dealing with Achila B'Yom HaKippurim over here. We're dealing with Bishul Akum, Xer Drabanan, right, with that has a whole bunch of kulas, the Chazal themselves threw into the mix. So since he's dealing with this Kal to begin with, you could be Mekel. But he's Medayik it clearly from the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't tell you exactly what his Diyuk is, but I think, right, that's got to be his Diyuk. Right? I don't think I'm reading that wrong. That's got to be his Diyuk, that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say the other side. He only says if the Iker is something that's subject to Bishlakim Asr, otherwise Mutter. Mechsal Mechza is Mutter. I saw in one of the Sfarim, I don't remember which one, where they wanted a taina that the Aruch HaShulchan is Soser himself also. If you look in source number 16, the Aruch HaShulchan Hilchos Taroves, also there's all Hilchos Taroves, in Hilchos Pasakum, in Simon Kuf Yud Beis, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Lamid that if you find bread out in the middle of nowhere, so you have to look at what most of the bakers are in that town. If most of them are palter, so then you would assume it's past palter. If most of them are balabatim, you go after rove of balabatim, rove of ridrachim, right? And then he says, what if the over ridrachim are mechzal mechza, half Jews, half non-Jews? So he says, v'nir de mechzal mechza aser. The avagav de iser kalhu mikal makom v'pachas perov yefshal lahakel. Even though it's an iser kal, doesn't bother him. It doesn't matter that it's an Isra Kal. You can't be Makel when it's less when you don't have a robe. That's like wild. No, he just said in Hilchos Bishlakum, when you have Nikr and a Tafel, Mechzal, it's an Isra Kal. You can be Makel anyway. And over here, when it comes to Hilchos Pasakum, Mechzal, can't be Makel. That's not a robe. So what's going on? So I think the Chiluk is pretty obvious, though. In the case of Pasakum, he's dealing with a robe. That's what he's worried about. He's worried, do you have a rove or do you not have a rove? In the case of Bishalakim, he's not worried about rove. He's dealing with Iker and Tafel. Right? When you deal with Iker and Tafel, it could be, there is a svara to say that if two things are an Iker, then neither is an Iker. Right? If you have two principles, then there is no one. You know, then neither is really the one. That's the definition of Iker, is that there is no other Iker. Right, so it's much more of a svara to say that you're going to be mekel when it's mechzal mechza and dinam of ikar and tafel than to say that you're going to be mekel when you're dealing with dinam of rov. Right, you can't say that holchem basar a rov if you don't have a rov to follow, a rov heter to follow. It's mechzal mechza. You don't have a rov heter to follow. So how could you follow how could you say that you could be mekel based on a rov when the rov doesn't exist? So I didn't understand the achronim. I think try to tumult with that aruch hashulchan. It sounds like a really good kasha because he uses those same words, but they're totally different. Right? Anyone disagree? I think they're totally different topics. Doesn't connect. I just wanted to talk about coffee a little bit. So there's a major literature in the Poskim about coffee. Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that the Minog Yisrael is everyone is somech on allowing people to drink coffee that was cooked by non-Jews. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, you know why they're somech on this? Is because it's not made lelafes bo sapas o parperes. It's not made as something that you eat together with your bread as part of the main part of your meal. And therefore, it's not subject to Bishalakim. Now, that heter is a little bit difficult because we paskin that dessert foods are also subject to Bishalakim. Lafis Basapas means if it's meant to be part of the meal and it's not used, Lafis Basapas, but if it's meant to be like a dessert food, so then it's, right, then it doesn't have to be Lafis Basapas. The Marsham has four kulas. Marsham in source number 18, Marsham in general was a big mekel, but he has four kulas in regards to coffee. He writes, number one, kula number one, is, it's eino ol al shulchan malachim lafis ba'asapas. Presumably, that's the same kula that we just saw. That, not that it's eino ol shulchan malachim, it is ol al shulchan malachim, but it's not ol al shulchan malachim lafis ba'asapas, right? That the issue is a lafis ba'asapas issue. Kula number two, he says, yeah.
So, I mean, that would absolutely go back to that machlokes between.
That would be subject to the same problem, right?
The Ritvan, yeah.
Oh, say again, yeah.
You said that the lavis was.
Right. Whether the lavis was a pass is dafka or lav dafka, exactly. That would be subject to that machlokes rishonim. Kula number two, he says that they're very careful. I'm sorry, the second kula is just about, he says, how can you rely on their kelim? Forget about bishalakum. Their kelim might have all sorts of machalas asurs in them. He says, no, coffee houses are very careful. They don't use those kelim for anything else, and they're careful for their own purposes, so you could absolutely trust them. They're not using anything else. So that's not really the second kula in bishalakum. Then he says, bishalakum is rak b'mashim vashin la'achila, kon sheikh r'chadom avlo al menas sheyeh l'shtiyah. Broke my brain on this one. I don't know what he's talking about. That it's only something that's meant for achila, like beer, and not something that's meant to be drunk. Beer is meant for achila? I don't know what he means.
Drink with something else.
And coffee, you don't drink with a cake? That's what he means. Rav Shechter has a nice piece. Rav Shechter has a nice piece on how you define achila and shtia is not always by liquid. By liquid versus solid. For instance, a soup, he holds, has dinim of achila. My nafkamina, whether you consider achila or shtia, nafkamina could sometimes be for brachos, and always for the shir. Is it a shir revius or is it a shir kazayas? Right? So sometimes the Rambam talks about liquids in the shir of kazayas, sometimes shir revius. Rav Shechter has it's Rav Chaim Balazhin's chiddush, and the Kashuv Lavan Gaon also, to try to be miyashiv the minag, why people make kiddush on little things as schnapps. So the Kashuv Lavan said, yeah, you know why people can make on a little thing as schnapps, doesn't have a revius, is because it's a kazayas and doesn't have a din of a mashke, because people don't drink schnapps because they're thirsty. A definition of a beverage is not something that's a liquid, it's something that you would drink because you're thirsty. People drink schnapps because they want to get in a certain state of mind. And that would have a din of an achila, not a shtiyah, so all you need is a kazayis. Okay, I guess we're up against Marav over here. All right, maybe we'll try to finish this coffee thing tomorrow, and then we'll move on in the shalat.